Go to Exodus 17. You have to maintain your place with God. The place you obtain, the place you find, you encounter, you have to maintain it. You can't just encounter it. You have to maintain it. God will have you encounter it, and then he'll teach you how to maintain it, and he'll teach you about your enemies. But he'll teach you how to stay above and not beneath. It's very free above. So a lot of freedom in the place called above only. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight. And I don't care how spiritual you get or how high you get. There are always unseen, undetected enemies. And you have to understand how they work. They don't work there. They work to stop you, to plug you up. If you want to be wise, understand how they work against your union and how they work against your position. That's probably the greatest wisdom there is. How the enemy works against your union with God. Not your time with God, your union. It's not just putting in the time. It's the union that's achieved. I used to pray 12 hours a day. I can do in 1 hour what took 12 hours. Even then the 12 hours were so full of works I couldn't even get positioned properly. But faith will position you. The revelation of God's word will position you. Amen? And faith will position you. Faith will make it a lot easier for you. Glory to God. As you do things by faith, you get your pathway, your compass. So, Exodus 17, they came into Rephidim. Rephidim is the valley of rest. That's a great place to find the rest, because the enemy is always going to fight your rest. And I'm talking about your natural rest. I'm talking about the spiritual place of rest. He's always going to fight that. That's why he says labor to enter into it. Even when you can achieve it, he'll fight it. And the reason he's going to fight, he confronts the children of Israel twice in this valley. He confronts them with two different operations to stop the rest, because the rest opens the grace. And the grace is unmerited, and the grace will flow freely. But you get out of rest, you'll get into war with Amalek. And Amalek, if it breaches your rest and your position of rest, and it breaches your grace, then you get over into the works. And works will plug you up, plug up your whole operation. So you can't walk in the glory, because the glory produces everything out of the glory realm is produced by grace. So the enemy can't stop any of that. He has no defense for any of that. So he has to try to get you. Sometimes you don't know that you're moving out. Sometimes you get really good at staying in and you don't know that he's moving you out. And you'll find yourself in a big war if he breaches your position, because once he breaches that position, that grace will dry up. And that grace dries up, your covering dries up, and all of a sudden you're dealing with warfare that you're not supposed to be dealing with. And it's all around you, and you're fighting all kinds of things that you're not supposed to be fighting. And you're fighting all kinds of enemies. And then you get into warring with the enemy in his territory, and he'll wear you out. You cannot beat the enemy in his territory. You have to get above him, and then you can beat him. Amen? So the key is to stay above. So they get into this place of rest, and the first thing that happens is strife. They run out of water, and they start chiding with Moses. And the strife, that's the first thing the enemy try to do, is dry up your water. It's the rest and the living waters is what makes the kingdom work. Amen. And so he dries up the water. They were chiding with Moses. They begin quarreling and strife. See, strife is a result of no water. You get a congregation that's full of strife because they have no water. They're dry. The enemy is breeding ground for a place that has no water. Amen? Got to have the water. Say, give me some water. How long do you think you would go without natural water? You take water from a city and there'd be chaos in a week. You take living waters from a church and there'll be chaos. They fight that. Moses goes before the Lord and said, what do you want me to do, Lord? I don't want them either. God said, You say, take that rod and strike the rock. The water will flow. And he struck the rock, the water flowed, and everybody was happy, and they're still dwelling in the rest. And the enemy's not done. He will always fight your position of rest. You got to get it, then you maintain it, because that's where the grace flows. That's where the grace, say the grace. Nothing like the grace of God. The grace is beautiful. It makes everything beautiful. It flows despite you. The grace will flow. It'll overlook all your stuff and just flow. That's why people that are worse can't understand people in grace, because they're trying to work it all out and be perfect. And people that are living in the grace of God, they're not perfect, but everything around them is. Because God's resting on them in grace. You get a lot further with God in his grace. Amen? Glory to God. So let's pick it up, verse 8. And Israel's got moved into the grace of God. Then another enemy shows up. This is one, I'll tell you, he is slick. This enemy, you can know all about him, and he'll still show up without you knowing it. Sometimes you won't know you're in a battle with him for weeks. Then all of a sudden, if you're quick, and you'll know, oh, there he is. Say, who? There he is. You can't fight and beat him with natural warfare. And you can't beat him with just ABCs of spiritual warfare either. This enemy, you have to have strategy to beat him. And he's going to be there perpetually. Well, he's in one place perpetually. You'll see by the end of this, he's thrown out of heaven. Look at verse 14. He says, I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. See, from under heaven, he put him out. That means if you dwell above him, he can't have any authority over you. Look at two verses later, though. Look at verse 16. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek for generation to generation. One verse says he puts him out, and the next one says you're going to have war with him for generation after generation, because those are jurisdictional wars there. As long as there's an earth and a curse working in it, he will operate. But he cannot operate where God's put him out from under heaven. So it's all a matter of where you dwell, is a matter of whether you're going to have authority over this unforeseen enemy. And he's come for one purpose, to block your rest, to fight against your rest, your position of rest, so he can breach your grace. If he can breach your grace, he gets you back into yourself. And he gets you into yourself, you'll never win any battle. You'll run into one wall after another. How many of you have ever come, you're going along, you're flowing, and all of a sudden you hit walls. Hit them in work. You hit walls in ministry. Hit walls in the family. You're running into walls. You're running walls, and you're trying to push through those walls, and you run out of strength. You're at war with an unseen enemy. His name is Amalek. Amalek means dweller in the valley. He's always want to keep you in the valley. He does not want you ascending out of the valley into the mountain. Amalek's going to fight you in the valley. He cannot fight you in the mountain of God. He's been cut off. Amen? Now, Amalek also, if you break that word Amalek down, Amal, you know what that means? I like the actual Strong's definition for it. Listen to this, Amal, because Amalek comes from Amal. It says to toil, to work severely. Oh, you're going to like this next one. To work severely with irksomeness. That don't even sound good, does it? I'll tell you how you know your spirit of irksomeness is upon you. Life is not very fun. For you or anybody around you, because you got irksomeness on you. It's a spirit of irksomeness. It's human sufficiency, human effort. It's like Peter toiling all night. He's in irksomeness. You think you want to be in his boat that night? You think you want to be in his boat washing the nets when he didn't catch anything? He's got irksomeness on him. Amal brings irksomeness. You ever get in that position? You don't just get out of irksomeness. If you fall into irksomeness, you don't stay in the irksomeness. If you fall in, you just don't decide to walk out of weariness. Once it engages you, you better know how to come out, or you can stay in that place. And if you stay in that place of weariness and irksomeness, it will breed all manner of evil. It will override your walk. It will override your faith. That's what they were there. That spirit come out against them. It was the second enemy. They beat the first one. And the second one came straight after because they want to breach the rest. Because once they breach the covering, breach the rest, they breach the grace, they move you into works. They move you out of the rest of God into a spirit in a system of irksomeness. Weariness, toil. You can have it totally under your feet. I mean, just totally under your feet, and you're trucking along, fighting something else, doing real good, and all of a sudden something comes along and you get engaged into something. You can be engaged into a God thing. It doesn't even have to be a worldly thing. You can be engaged in something God's in, but you get over-engaged. Because too much of you gets involved in it. And it'll breach your grace. You got to learn how to walk with the ark without backpacking it. You remember? Uzzah tried to steady the ark. You can't steady the things of God in your flesh. We don't get that luxury. To steady the things of God in our flesh, we can't do that. But we have to walk next to the ark, but we can't backpack the ark. You don't get to put your hands all over it. God will assign you a task to do, but you can't do it. Too much of yourself get into it, or irksomeness will show up. And when it does, you're in trouble. Because you don't just get to turn around and back up. That thing will come up around you fast. It'll breach your grace real fast. All of a sudden, you're in the middle of warfare that you're not designed to be in. Because you've dropped down off the mountain, and yeah, you're down in the valley. He's a dweller in the valley. He wants to pull you off the mountain. Pull you into his territory, and then all kinds of warfare comes along. And you don't know why, and you're fighting over here, and you're fighting over here, and you're fighting over here. Because he surrounded you. Anybody ever had that kind of guy show up? You want to beat him? If you ever have been through that and won, your victory is priceless. You'll do anything to keep it because you've been through that pain, and I'm not ever going back to that guy again. So, those of you that are more skilled in these areas, you'll recognize him a lot quicker. And he might have parts, but you know how to pull yourself back. Amen? So let's look at God's strategy to win. Amen? Everything in the kingdom comes off the rest. It's the rest that produces the harmony, that produces the union, that produces the overshadowing of the kingdom, that produces the inheritance. And without the rest, you move into disharmony. And when you move into disharmony, irksomeness shows up. And it breaches the flow. The kingdom cannot flow with that stuff there. That's why he said, guard the heart. Right here, your whole life. Guard it, keep it, watch it. You're a watchman on the wall. You should turn your eyes right here. The hard part is the hardest part ever is to see your own heart. There's depths in our heart that we can't see. I'm just telling you straight up. You'll have to have the Holy Ghost to see it. There are areas when God takes us through a baptism of fire or a purging process. He shows us. I mean, did the Lord ever show you something you couldn't believe that stuff's there? I can't believe this is here. In a full gospel church. You just can't know. No use trying to search it out. There's nobody in this earth has a flashlight like God's flashlight. Keep your eyes on the glory. When he gets ready to bring you to the next level, he'll take you and take a swath out. When God comes in with his two-edged sword, it's like peeling an onion, but he just doesn't peel one peel. He'll peel back 10 peels. God, could you leave something? So they come and fall in the valley of rest. The dweller in the valley with toil and irksomeness comes to fight you. Moses said unto Joshua, you know the story, he said, choose out men and go out there and fight. So he sent out the word to fight. He sent out the anointing to fight. But it wasn't enough. That's why people don't understand. They can confess all day long. You can fight all day long. He had Joshua out there, for goodness sake. There were skilled warriors out there fighting. Those like angels fighting. The words out there fighting, but it wasn't enough. They weren't prevailing. That's why you can fight and not prevail, because you're out of position. It wasn't enough to send it all out. These kind of enemies don't move just like that. They move by your position. Moses had to get positioned. You can fight all day long and nothing happens, and you say, well, it's just by faith and God's in it. But no, you're out of position. Because when God's in it, you win the battle. When you get position, I had a little tango with this guy recently. And I beat him real good. It used to take me a long time. So I know a little bit of what I'm talking about. So Joshua did, verse 10, as Moses said, and he fought with Amalek. So the two-edged sword's out, the word's out there. It's all flowing. Angels out there, got armies out there. They fought with Amalek. Moses and Aaron and Hur went up into the top of the hill. You see that? You have to get out of the valley to beat your enemy. That would cancel about 80-90% of the spiritual warfare books out there. Because it's all about spiritual warfare fighting here. Moses had to get out of that battle. You are not going to beat an enemy being in the middle of the fray. Jesus never, even though he was in a storm, he would sleep in the middle of the storm because he wasn't in the storm. They were in the storm. He was not. He was above. You have to learn this if we're going to have authority like God wants us to have authority in the last days. People think God is going to drop the glory and drop the authority. We have to learn how to walk with it. There's going to be unforeseen enemies going to show up, and you have to learn how to beat them. And it came to pass. See, they went. Where'd they go? They got out of the warfare zone. They went to the top of the hill. They went to the mountain of God. Moses knew I had to get out of this. Stop being super spiritual in the middle of your battle. But be super spiritual enough to know to get out of that battle. Quit doing and pushing and gnawing and crawling with irksomeness. You got to leave the irksomeness. You got to go where no irksomeness can go. You got to go where the world system cannot go. You got to get into the mountain of God. Amen. You got to elevate. Sometimes it'll seem stopping. That's hard to do. You got to stop a progression you're in. You just have to stop. I'll tell you what, men and women of God that know God, they'll stop. When things are not right, they'll just stop. They know if they don't shut it down, they're going to get shut down. Just stop. and go into the mountain. Because they know there's a time when you can fix it, and there's a time when only God can fix it. Once you recognize, I can't fix this, God's going to get you in situations like that where you can't fix it. Oh, how the flesh does not like being in a position it doesn't get the fix. I know I'm talking to somebody in here now. Ministry things, you don't get the fix. Business things, you don't get the fix. Relational things, you don't get the fix. When everything's going well and things are flowing and all of a sudden I get in a situation, I can't fix this. But here's what happens. Oh, the flesh. I don't care how high you get. There's just sometimes you just, we're going to do this. And then once that no good thing that lies in you gets released. Oh, man, it takes him 5 seconds to wreck 5 good months. He can wreck it fast. Talking about a wrecking machine. Your flesh is a wrecking machine. When you turn him loose, your flesh, and it gets in that point where, but see, because everything else was going so good, but now this time it's not. If you do not recognize when you reach your limitation in a situation and don't know when to draw back, your flesh will proceed into territory that's unsanctioned. And when it proceeds in, there will be no good thing will come out of that situation. There is going to be problems. Big ones. Your flesh can produce problems like that. You even thought you were in a mountain. Your flesh just created a mountain. It's all going to happen. I don't care how spiritual you get. You're going to have war with Amalek. He's going to show up. The key is to learn to discern when you've reached your limitation. Listen, there are going to be times God's going to give you assignment to do. He's going to let you do it. And you get flowing really good. And there's grace on it. And then all of a sudden, you reach your limitation in that area. But because it was flowing so well, I can't tell you how many times God put grace on me for something. It would just flow, and then I'd reach my limitation. I would get in trouble with construction projects. It would be euphoric. Anointing would come on. Everything would work perfectly. Money would come in, all kinds of stuff. You got things going everywhere. You got an anointing. It's just popping. It's rolling. And all of a sudden, you have a time frame under heaven that's going to get done. And when it's done, you're done. And when it lifts, you think you're going to wake up and keep going the way you've been going. It just shuts down. All of a sudden, everything's shut down. And if you keep going, you're on your own. And you get to pay for it, too. This happens in business. It happens in ministry. When you move beyond your grace, recognize sometimes God's going to employ you and you're going to get to do it. And sometimes you're going to be in front of a mountain that you are not going to be able to touch. You're going to reach your limitation like that. But it's God's will that that mountain moves, but you're not going to move it. How do I move a mountain that I don't get to move? I got the word out there. I got angels out there. I got warfare. I got everybody praying and nothing's happening. At that point, you're going to stop. Get out of that and go up the mountain is your only option. And if you don't learn to go up the mountain in the middle of a situation like that, you're going to create a lot of problems because your flesh is going to get it all over that thing. It's okay to know, hey, this is God's going to use me, but he's not going to use me in the middle of this battle. He wants me to get out of this battle, but this battle's not going to be won without me. But I got to get out of where I am. I got to get in position. So sometimes it's okay to say, you know, I just got to take a little exodus here. Into God. I got to go up in the mountain and get positioned. Listen, Joshua's not going to win that battle without you, but he's not going to win it with you in the middle of it either. Did you just hear that? Sometimes your faith is not going to win your battle with you in the middle of it. Sometimes you're going to have to get out for your faith to work. You're going to have to get higher. You're going to have to get up into the mountain of God. And then your faith will work real fine. I'm telling you something. This is a master key to moving mountains in your life. The mountain you're under, sometimes it's God designed. Because it's your graduation. But you have to learn how to graduate. And sometimes the mountain you moved last year and the year before, you're not going to move it the same way. You're going to have to do it God's way. So sometimes he's training you. Look, you got your faith out here. You got your angels out here. You got the word out here. You got your promises out here. Now you're too involved. You get to the point where you backpack the ark and flesh is going to burn. Ask Uzzah. You pull back and you move up into the mountain of God. You move into position above, say above. What did he say about Amalek? I have put him out from under heaven. You move. See, you're going to have perpetual war, but you move up. Amalek can only be defeated out of position. Did you hear that? Amalek can only be defeated when you're in position. You cannot beat Amalek head on. You cannot beat works with works. You will never win that battle. You got to get above. Amen? Got to get where all the grace is. That means there's going to be surrender. That means there's going to be some crucifixion. That means you got to let go. That means you're not going to be in control for a while. That means you got to leave things out of control, which I can't stand. I want it all nice, ordered, and neat, and I want it now. It's disarray and chaos down here. God said, leave that battle and come up in the mountain. Leave your faith in there. Leave the word in there. But get into the mountain. But look at it. It needs me. It needs me. Do you have any idea the gift of God? There are going to be mountains that do not need you. But God needs you to move. I know I'm talking to somebody. So, Moses, Aaron, and Hur, they go up into the hill of God. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hands, this is all about position, by the way. He's not holding his hands in the valley. He's on top of the mountain now. There's a difference between lifting your hands in the valley and lifting your hands in the mountain. There's a difference from praying in the valley and praying on the mountain. Ask Moses. When God wanted to really talk to him, he said, get up into the mountain. Moses' hands were heavy. This is the next step, by the way. When you're in the mountain, they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat down. What do you think he sat down at? What do you think that rock that he sat down at? We were raised together, made to sit together. There's a whole nother step where he's going to totally eliminate your sufficiency altogether, because your greatest battles are going to be won in the absence of your flesh. The greatest battles ever are going to be won in the absence of flesh. He said, you're up here, sit down now. Now he's moved into a king's position. Kings rule from a seated position. He sat down on the rock of Christ. Sat down on the rock of Christ at the right hand of God. See the Benjamin thing going here? He's in the elevated position, and God's about to unlock heaven for him. He's not in the middle of the fray. He's above the fray. He sat down. Flesh has been eliminated. He's completely positioned in the Father, and the arms are raised from a seated position. And as soon as he got in that position, Joshua started discomfiting Amalek. the mountain started moving. I just recently got involved in something, and I mean, I was just all up in it. And I reached this plateau, and the week before was working real good, and that week it wasn't working so well. And I tell you what, I just put my, just touched it with my flesh and just caused all kinds of problems. Oh, yeah, we do that. And the Lord said, get in position. I'm telling you, I was in the middle of this and it took me 3 hours to get out of that war zone, to get position. And when I did, I got seated with God there. And I knew what I was doing when the rest of God come over me and broke all that stuff off of me. And when it did, when I came out, that thing was fixed. Say fixed. I couldn't believe it. There was an email waiting on me. And God had moved pretty cool on this situation. In that 3 hour time, he fixed the situation. My flesh created. The Lord said, now I'm going to teach you something about me being the perfecter. He said, I will perfect those things that concern you. He said, that is my anointing, not your anointing. He said, I want to teach you that I can perfect it. Say, now we're not talking about this building, and we're talking about perfecting it. There can be a perfection that comes from God that's beautiful, and there's a perfectionist spirit that comes from man that will cause all manner of problems. God said, I am the perfecter, but I'm not going to perfect it if you're not in position. Because I need to teach you and those with you how I'm going to perfect things in the last day, because you're going to carry things that are going to look like it's chaos. You're going to go into situations in the workplace, in the marketplace, in ministry, and it looks like it's chaos. And God, it looks like it's his, and God said, I'm going to fix all that. But you're not going to fix it. But I'm going to fix it. God's going to fix whole cities in the last days. He's going to fix things. We've got to come out from it. Get in position, then God will come in and lay the order in. That's how apostolic works. Apostolic doesn't come in with an iron fist. Some apostles think so, but that's not the way the apostolic works. The apostolic is dependent on God to fix. God's a perfecter. Glory to God. Go to Galatians, I'll close. Galatians chapter 4. Sometimes the wisdom of God will fix something. Sometimes the anointing of God will fix it. If you grasp the wisdom of God, your circumstance will get aligned. Amen? You got to grasp the wisdom of God, and God will align up the circumstances. How many of you ever tried to align something that will not align? Get in position, seated together, the right hand of God. There's fullness of grace there. And that grace will get back on you, and the grace will come and conquer what you could not see. So Zerubbabel in the last days, what did he say? He said, grace, grace unto the mountains. What was the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. The higher you get in the glory, the less your flesh gets to do. But the more gets done. The higher you get in the glory, the less our flesh gets to do it. That's hard on the flesh. What do I do with this flesh? Well, look at Galatians 5 real quick. Galatians 5:1, look at this. Stand fast, therefore, the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not what? Entangled again into the bondage. He's actually talking about the law, which is works, which is Amalek. Don't get entangled. Your spirit can't afford to be entangled. When you start learning the freedom of the right hand of God, you cannot be entangled in systems. So that's not where things are going to happen for you. When God set this system of increase and multiplication, he detangled us and set the glory in. Remove the debt in the church. When you get detangled, things start happening for you. We're paying things off by the rest. We're not working to pay this stuff off. You work, but all this is coming above. It's coming above. Say above. God sends it above. Because God operates above. God is not confined to your paycheck. Amen. Especially, so it's like, thank the Lord. Have you ever had a paycheck? Say, oh God, thank you. You're not confined to this. Start thanking God. Listen, here's a key. Basically, you want me to throw it to you? Abraham had two sons. One of them was a son of inheritance. One was not. The one that was not, what he said, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Cast out the whole capacity for it. He's not an heir. That part of your nature is not an heir. Irksomeness is not an heir. Only Isaac's the heir. Amen. It's the only part of you that inherit is the new man. The old man will not inherit. He's got irksomeness on him. And he's got to cast out. Amen. I want to talk about that. Moving those mountains, though. Learn, here's a key for you, to thank God for everything he brings you. Do not complain about what God has set in your hands. I don't care, because what God has set in your hands, he can multiply. If you start murmuring over it, you kill it. Start complaining over it, you kill it. Take what God gives you. And a lot of times I know some of you get a paycheck and it's spent before you got it. I know that. And I know some of you are out of debt. And I know every one of us are in between. But when you take what God gives you, the first thing you do, thank God for it. Come Friday or whenever you get paid comes around, thank God for it. When you're believing God for something and he's sending you 500 times less, thank God for it. Say thank God. And lift it up. Take it out of this zone, this system, and get it up into the kingdom. Lift it up and watch what God does with it. Watch what he does. Watch what he brings in. Watch how he multiplies. Watch how he'll move mountains for you. If you're in the grace of God, I'm going to pray for you here before we go. That God will move us all and line us into grace. Grace is that just masterful operation of God that bypasses you altogether. But it requires your alignment. Grace only requires one thing, alignment. The fullness of grace only requires alignment. Come on, share this.
Psalms 23. It says, he describes it as, lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I always wondered what it meant by the valley of the shadow of death. But what did he call Amalek? The dweller in the valley. The dweller of the valley. See, Amalek is sitting there lying in wait for you. It's lying in wait. And see, we all like to be in the valley, because why? The valley is all lush. It's green. It's where all the supply came to. And we can freely partake and freely eat in the valley. So no one wants to move on from the valley. But the shepherd is good, the shepherd is desiring what's best for his sheep, will move them from the valley to the high places. Why? Because in the high places now, it's not so easy to eat, and they're dependent, they're totally upon the shepherd. And now the shepherd can watch over them because he can see long distances. They can see long distances. And in the cold of the mountaintop, the fur, the wool would grow firmly and strongly and fatter. In other words, they're putting their coat on. The coat of glory is found at the top of the mountain, not in the valley. The place where maturity comes is at the top of the mountain and not in the valley. The place where increase is made for the sheep is in the top of the mountain, because that's where they're dwelling with the shepherd. Hallelujah.
Whoa! Glory to God. Let's all stand a minute. See, Father, right now, there's many people in here tonight that you've been in front of a mountain. What was working for you last year, that same thing is not working for you right now. It's a different enemy. You have to have wisdom to fight the enemies. So, Father, we just stop right now. We just come up out of that battle right now. We surrender the control. We surrender even the chaotic atmosphere. Some of you, there's chaotic atmosphere around you. You have to walk away from that right now. Just surrender that. In the spirit, you walk away. You cannot fix that like you could before. Somebody, you have, there's a situation with your children. You cannot fix what's going on with your children, and it's wearing heavily on you. It's weighing so heavily, you can't even sleep at night because what's going on with your children. And the Lord said, you have to come up to the mountain. I am the only perfecter, saith the Lord. You've been trying and pushing, and it's making it worse because your flesh has moved into that situation. You cannot fix that in the natural. You have to start positioning into the mountain. Father, we come up to the mountain. We make a choice to move into the right hand, to ascend into the hill of the Lord, to be raised up together, to be made to sit together. We're all these years now, you've taught us access. Now you're teaching us operations. The Spirit of the Lord said, I will begin teaching the operations to those who have learned the access. You will now begin to understand the operations. You will understand the operations of moving mountains, the operations of increase and multiplication, the operations of creative miracles, the living waters of creative miracles. It's here in the right hand. It's here in the seated position. I will teach you the operations of the kingdom, saith the Lord. As you come out of the fray, you come out. The first thing you're going to recognize is the frustration is going to lift. The anxiety is going to lift. Peace is going to be resealed into your borders. Rest is going to fill your soul. Rest is going to fill your soul and your body. That's how you know you've come out. If you're being tossed and torn and thrown around and your emotions are like a rag doll, you're too far in. You got to come out. You got to come into the mountain of rest. Peace shall be filled into your borders. I will keep you in perfect peace, saith the Lord. Perfect peace. Even right now, you're feeling the peace of God come over you because you just made a decision to let go. First thing is to let go. Father, we acknowledge in our flesh lieth no good thing. We acknowledge that we cannot do this without you. We in ourselves cannot. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. It's by your spirit. We acknowledge it enough to let go and come out. We come out. We go up the mountain, God, through the living doorway.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.